The Mishnah Daf Pei Gimel and Maseches Yoma. Deals with a person, Misha Achso, boom, with some type of disease or sickness, Machilinosa, feel dram to mayim. Until he opens up his eyes, if he's bit by a dog, a wild dog, etc., etc. And the Mishnah continues to teach us the din of Pikuach Nefashos. The Braisa then adds in something that we've discussed earlier on this year, Tanu Rabbanan, Misha Achso, boom, with Machilinosa, Akalakal Tchila, or Akalakal. Tavel v'nevela, machilin oso nevela. Tavel shvias, shvias. Tavel truma, that's machlokas tanayim. But the principle is called hakal hakal tchila. If a person is deathly ill in need of food, then you have two choices. You give him the less severe of the food, the less bad of the food, the one with the smaller onesh. And therefore, if a person's sick and he has only treif, not kosher food, so you give him either tevel or nevela. You give him the vela first, tevel and shvias. You give him shvias, shvias and truma. That's a machlokas, etc., etc. An interesting shaila was asked to the rival, and if you have a gemara, feel free to take a look in the Rush. It's a worthwhile thing to see inside. The Rush has an interesting shaila. I'll tell you the shaila outside. Don't read it inside. The shaila was a person was very sick on Yom Kippur. Shabbos Yom Kippur. I assume was Shabbos. Two more Shabbos. The person was very sick on Shabbos. And therefore, we had to give him food. Okay? No problem. Problem was they had no food available. They had two things available. One was Basar Nevein was sitting around. An animal, a cow, just dropped dead and laying it on the floor. You can take the food from the nevela, or you can go out and shecht another animal. Once you're done, you take the meat either from the nevela, if you go with that route, and you gotta cook it. And if you take the shechit, you gotta cook that as well. So in truth, either way, you're gonna be violating bishul. There's no way of getting around that. A guy can't eat raw meat. That's not healthy, that's not gonna get him in a healthy position. So for sure you're allowed to be mevashel on Shabbos in such a scenario because it's pekuach nefesh. However, the shaila that was asked, that was raised, was what should, shaila was asked to the Ravid, what should they do? Should they give him the vela or should they give him, or should they shecht? So the Shalu es HaRaivid, I'm on the Dapi HaRasha, I'll read it to you briefly. I'm on the second line in. If you have a Gemara, feel free to open up. It's right in the beginning of the eighth parak over here, in the middle of it, a little bit heavy through. The Mishnah is Osi Adaru, if you want to take a look at the Rush. One line into the Gemara, it's the third line for the Mishnah, second line down. Tan Rabbanan, Misha Achso, Bul Mas Machilin also HaKalakal, Ashi Nev HaKalakal Tchila. Tevel v'nevela, machilin oso nevela. Nevela v'shvias, machilin oso shvias. Although there is another geist out there. Fine. Tevel v'shvias. Interesting what's behind the machlokas of yourselves, not me. Here comes the shayla. Shalu as haraivit zal chol eshesh bo sakana im lo yochal baser. The guy has to eat meat, otherwise he'll die. Im yesh lefan of nevela. V'ein shachot imlo she nishchat b'shabbos. What should you do? Should you shech the thing or should you give him the nevela? Ki yesh omrim, there's an opinion out there, which is mutav sheyavrahu alav de nevela mishyavra cheir malis v'skila. Better you should do what? Which is hakal hakal tchila. So nevela carries with it, if you eat nevela, what punishment do you get? You get malchus. However, if you violate Shechita, which is the Chilul Shabbos, Zaraisa carries with the punishment of Misa. So what would you have said to do first? What would you tell the guy to do? Should he eat the Nevela or should he eat the, or should he Shecht first? The Yesh Omrim says, well, Nevela is less severe than Shechita B'Shabbos. Achilas Nevela is a lot. Shechita B'Shabbos is an Isser with a chi of misa. So it makes a lot of sense. Hakal hakal. Why should we have to violate shechita if we can violate neveira? That was what was told to the Rebbe. That was the Yesh Omrim. Beheshiv divrei Yesh Omrim. Mechuvanim heim. The Rebbe liked that answer. Aval, he has a couple of technicalities. I'm not going to really discuss them. That is the shita of the Rebbe. The Rebbe thought this was a fantastic suggestion. And according to the Rebbe, halacha l'maisa, what should one do? The answer is one should eat the nevela by cooking it up. However, Rishonim disagree. The Rush disagrees. The Rabbeinu Meir, that the Rush quotes, disagrees. And in truth, there are two ways of, at least found in the Rush, of disagreeing. I'm going to skip down to where it says Rabbeinu Meir. About three or four lines there. Rabbeinu Meir hashir b'tshuva alzu v'hevi dimyon me'ochel nefesh b'yamtiv t'shochte b'yamtiv d'ika aseh v'lo t'aseh b'isr malacha u'maychal nevel d'elo el alav oh lomer l'nachri l'nchor ofos d'leka el isr d'rabban d'ein shchita lov me'atora el akevet d'atora hitiru l'an ochel nefesh b'yamtiv havel elididon kol ochel nefesh b'yamtiv kimo b'chol. And based on that precedent, Hachi Nami, he writes, Kevin Shaitira Torah Pikuach Nefesh, having called Malach Shosev Shabbos Bishvachol Shesh Borsakana Kiilu Asel B'chol. Fascinating shita of the Rabbeinu Meir. He writes, once it's already Shabbos, you're allowed to violate Shabbos more. Once you violate Shabbos once, you can just piggyback on. Since the Bishol anyway is a Chilul Shabbos with a Chiyuv Misa, and since anyway you have to do the Bishol, whichever one you choose, the Nevela or the Shechita, it doesn't make a difference. You got to cook it up anyway, so there's a guaranteed Chilul Shabbos. So better to violate one Avera twice than to violate two different Averos. That's the Shechita of the Rabbeinu Meir. We're going to have to ask what's behind that machlokes, and we'll turn to it momentarily. I should point out, even though that's true, however, if there are two Isurim, you give her the more kal one. But here, it's all one Isur. It's the same thing twice. However, Vanishamat, he says the Rosh, I have another pshat after Mishim the Chashinan Shem Yehei Hacholek Kates Ba'achilas Isser V'yish Frosh V'yizah. If I walk over and offer Norman some Norman, then we'll find someone out in Ayatar. Nebuch, an old sick guy. So I say, hey, Nebuch, old sick guy, would you like some, I'm going to give you some food, you're sick. He's like, this is Nevel, I can't eat that stuff. That raises the likelihood of Pekuach Nefesh, and therefore, maybe the reason why we should feed him the Basar Shechuta, we should shecht and feed him the Basar Shechuta, is Gufa, this reason. Perhaps. Perhaps there are two suggestions, two reasons why you should disagree with the Rebbe. According to the Rebbe, again, you should have the Nevela, Cossacks, Hakal, and better to have the Nevela, the Shech, and that. However, there are two explanations as to why we disagree. The Rosh and the Rabbeinu Meir, but this is the Maharam Yerotim. What's behind this machlokas between the Rebbe, who believes eat the Nevela, versus the Rosh, or the Rabbeinu Meir, who have different explanations as to why you should eat the Basar Shechuta. For starters, before I move on, you got the sheets clearly. Yeah, you came in late after the beginning. You good? Pinch, are you good to follow?
Yeah.
Norm, you good?
I missed the Rosh. That's just an example.
The right, it says, eat the Nevela. You want to know why? Because it's hakam. It's not as severe as Shechita B'Shabbos. Says the Rosh. Well, there's a chance the old man may be very hesitant, may be unwilling, may be uncompromising. And he's not going to want to eat Nevela. Because Nevela, who eats Nevela? I'm not eating Nevela. And therefore, he's further causing himself more danger. He's further endangering himself. That's the phrase I'm looking for. It's really dangerous now. You're sick. The doctor said eat the food. You're not eating it. So let's just, let's minimize the chilul Shabbos as much as possible and give him the shach the animal because we'll pay the odds and minimize it. And the Rebbeinu Meir is like, I'll tie a third sheet out there, although Lahalach, he agrees with the Rush, nonetheless it's a fundamentally different sheet, as we see, not really between them momentarily. According to the Rebbeinu Meir, the halacha would be give him the shech the food and give it to him because it's all just shots. Now, if you were analyzing this machlokes on your own, how would you do this? What observations would you make? What the question obviously you're gonna ask what's behind this machlokes, but where would you go from there? What more would you say than that? Yeah. That sounds like a great start at first glance, but how could you take a step back? What you did is two things. Number one is you said, let's leave the rush aside for a moment, and let's talk about the Rebbeinu versus the Rebbeinu Meir. Correct? Why don't you do that first?
That seems to be even more important.
Correct. You get the impression from the rush that although you can disagree with the Rebbeinu in one of two ways, either like the Rosh or like the Rebbeinu Meir, the Rosh is a technical machlokes. Fundamentally, I agree, it's a question of statistics and technicalities. What's more dangerous? What's less dangerous? What's more probable? How is it going to answer? So let's put the technical machlokes aside into the more fundamental machlokes, which is the Rebbeinu Rebbeinu Meir. You did that intuitively. I think it pays to articulate it, because once you articulate it, you realize sometimes you just slow down a little bit, like, realize, what did I do? What I just did? All of a sudden, more ideas start jumping out at you. That was Norman's first ha'ar that he insinuated we should be able to chap, or somebody chap and spell it out. Additionally, he wanted to say, okay, what makes more sense in my mind? He said, probably what makes more sense is the Rebbeinu at first glance, because there really are two things. Maybe you'll say for a Rebbeinu Meir, somehow if you're Mechal Shabbos twice, it all counts as once. I think you're right, you think you're right, but you also realize that that's not a well, it's not a convincing sorrow. Why should I be Mechal Shabbos twice and only get one Avera? Why is that the case? Chil Shabbos is really bad each time you do it. It's not like I shechted the first and then shechted the second half and you can argue it's all one nice. One is Shechita, one is Bishul, the two different halachas. Sounds like a challenging sorrow. Now the truth is, maybe you can make some type of argument that the 39 malachas are actually not 39 independent halachic categories, but rather it's being Mechal Shabbos the same time over and over again, and therefore you're doing Shechita twice. Or you're doing Chil Shabbos twice. And there is what to say about that. You can have this conversation. We learned Shabbos last year. You know, perhaps I'll build up this idea for a second before I get to what I really think of Shabbos. Maybe you can argue with Machlokes about is Siva on Shabbos and Bishul on Shabbos, two different actions, just two different examples of Chil Shabbos. Maybe. There is a machlokes when you give Hasra for Shabbos, do I have to say you're doing Siva or you're doing Chil Shabbos? Which may reflect this Shabbos machlokes, two days post, both of Shabbos and other Shabbos. But having been said, I think the answer is probably not that way, because even if it's two different Yisurim, the same thing twice, why should I be allowed to do that? You need to sharpen that Sfara, even if you believe that it's the same thing twice. And therefore, I'm going to take what Norman said and just take it one step further. Nope, any suggestions? Yeah?
Seems like in the major.
I'm listening.
That works, I guess. The thing you may or now would say, I mean, based on his lush of that, Rabino Meir, based on that, his lesson is that anything that happens within the time span of Qat Nefesh becomes as if it's happening in full.
Excellent. What Pinchot suggested, I'm going to develop properly, but I think it's spot on. Let me zoom out a little bit, give a little bit of more information, and then we'll go back and reread it. If you take a look in Hilchos Shabbos, Parak Beis, Halachi Dal for the Rambam, if you brought a Rambam, fantastic. If you didn't, because you didn't know to it, how would you feel free to send it on WhatsApp? Take a look if you're interested. The Rambam says, it deals with the case of Ayoledes. Ayoledes she kishakoares leilei harihibis hakanis nefashis mechal aleos on Shabbos. If a woman's giving birth, you can be mechal Shabbos because she has a quasi-status of a sakanis nefashis. And therefore, he has all sorts of examples. You can cut the umbilical cord, you can tie it up, you can bring shut the light off, turn the light on, do whatever you need to, because she's not mishep pekuach nefesh situation. Then the Rambam says, interestingly, the last line, v'chol she'efshar l'shanos mishanin. If you can shut the light with a shinoi, better to do it that way. If you can somehow cut the umbilical cord with a shinoi, better do it that way. Whatever you can do with a shinoi, do it. Why? Because a shinoi is only midrabanan, while the malach itself is daraisa. Let's downgrade. Let's minimize everything we can do. V'chol she'efshar l'shanos mishanin b'shas haba. If you can carry something in the Shos HaRabim for her, maybe better to tie it to the carrier's hair versus carrying it in their hand. That's certainly a shina. People don't usually carry things with their hair. And therefore, the more shina you can do, the better off it is. Therefore, according to the Rambam, what does it didn't seem to be? What? According to the Rambam, you're right, but hold on to that. Yoledes, a woman who just gave birth, the more you can do to minimize the Chil Shabbos, the better. The Magen Mishnah points out on the spot right here that Yoledes may or may not be the same as classic Pekuach Nefesh. I should say better, a classic Chola Sheyesh Sakan. Is the Rambam talking about a chola sheyesh bo sakana or only a yoledes? So the Magen Mishnah actually believes there's a chiluk. The Magen Mishnah says, according to the Rambam, a chola sheyesh bo sakana, you don't have to do a shino. For a yoledes, you have to do a shino. For a chola sakana, you don't need a shino. Then he points out that the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban believes that you need to do a shinoi for both. Or, in other words, the machlokis between the Ramban and the Ramban has twofold. Number one is whether or not a yoledes is a classic format of sakana sheyeshba, a chola sheyeshba sakana. A woman who just gave birth, is she considered a chola sheyeshba sakana? According to the Ramban, the answer is yes. And just like you do shinoi for her, so if you do shinoi for a kol sheyesh bo sakana, and that's really what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says you got to do a shinoi. So says the Rambam, that's true. It's only true by yoledes, not by classic sakana sheyesh bo kol sheyesh bo sakana. According to the Rambam, the din of shinoi is backed by both. The upshot is that everyone agrees that a yoledes gets a, you have to do shino. What's the halacha by a classic Arab case of chol sheyesh bo sakana? According to the Ramban, you have to do a shino, and the answer is yes. According to the Rambam, must do a shino, and the answer is no. The Magen Mishnah says the truth, there's a difference. One of the differences? Childbirth is not the same level of pekuach nefesh. Women give birth all the time. Every day there's thousands of births, and less than one in a thousand die, he writes. Now, in those days, they had significantly fewer. I don't know if the statistics are right in those days, but after you hear it's one in a thousand. I thought it was higher in those days also. I don't know. In any event, that's certainly not worthwhile spending our time on right now. One shaila is, how do I look at a yoledes? Is she part of kol sheyesh bo sakana or not? Interesting. But there's a second phrase, which is, how do I look at a kol sheyesh bo sakana? Do I have to do a shinoi or not? So Pinchot wants to suggest there are two ways of understanding pekuach nefesh. Does pekuach nefesh mean I can violate Shabbos? Or, and here's the punchline, does pekuach nefesh mean temporarily it's not Shabbos? You can never violate Shabbos. Torah will never let you do it. If there's pekuach nefesh, it's because it's not Shabbos. And the Magen Mishnah points to a Rambam a little bit earlier on, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, where the Rambam says something fascinating, which is like such a clear, indicative formulation. I sent it on the WhatsApp as well. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis writes, I'm skipping to the bottom line where he says, Klolo Sheldavar, when he's done explaining the Halacha Pekuach Nefesh, he writes, Klolo Sheldavar, Legabe Chol Sheish Bo Sakan. Here's the rule. Harei Hu Kechol L'chol Hadvarim Shehu Tzorech Behen. If there's a Tzorech, it's automatically not Shabbos. Fascinating question about Pekuach Nefesh. Is Pekuach Nefesh what's called Dechuya or Hutra? Is it Dechuya, which means it is Shabbos, but we're Doches Shabbos? Or is it Hutra? It's as if what? It's Bechlal, not Shabbos. The Torah suspended Shabbos for any Tzorech out there. Fascinating question. According to the Ramban, what's the Pshat? It's still Shabbos, and therefore, if you have to Mechal Shabbos, you can do it. And you shouldn't endanger the chola anymore. Do whatever you possibly can. But, try your best to minimize it if you can. In other words, if you think there's a greater chance of endangering the chola, don't do it. But if you think it's mamish, six to one, a half dozen of the other, they're on tantamount, completely synonymous to each other. It doesn't make a difference if you drive with your bad example. It doesn't make a difference if you carry to the chola something with your hand, you carry it with your head. Equally good, makes no difference at all. You tie it around, tie it to your hair and carry it that way. The doctor says she's got absolutely no concern as long as you bring the food within 2 hours. So do it, you know, why not? Maybe we'll minimize the Chilul Shabbos at the Ramban. Why? Because it is Chilul Shabbos. According to the Rambam, you don't have to bother minimizing it. Don't even bother. You want to know why? It's not Chilul Shabbos in the first place. Any Tzorech out there, by definition, is no longer Chilul Shabbos. If this is correct, so Pinchot wants to suggest, maybe the Rebbe Meir is who? The Rambam. And the Rebbe is the Ramban. According to the Ramban, one would assume, and this is exactly what Rebbe says, that if you have the veil, you have Bishop, as we had previously proposed, it makes a lot more sense to do Hakala Kal Tchila and into the veil. However, if you believe that what? That Bishop allows Chilul Shabbos entirely because it's no longer Shabbos for any Tzorech. Once I start cooking, once I know I'm going to do Bishul, once I know that I have to cook up the meat anyway, so Shechita on Shabbos is a Tzorech, and therefore, it's like doing it Sunday afternoon. I have a choice of doing two Shabboses, which is really just under one larger rubric, one larger blanket, one larger category of, it's Sunday afternoon, it's Mamash Chol in the middle of Shabbos. Once that's the case, I'm sure Shkita makes a lot more sense to do. If that's the case, we have a fascinating perspective on this Machlokis over here. Between the Rebbe and the Rebbeinu Meir. Before I take your question, I want to do two quick things. Number one is look at the Lashon of Rebbeinu Meir. Are there any words of Rebbeinu Meir that seem to indicate that this is true? Listen to these words. That's the chat. Says the Rebbe, L'chora, and there are two assumptions to the right. Number one is that we say butra. It's mamash not Shabbos. And number two is therefore what?
Yeah.
Pardon me. It's you're right. Sorry. Number one is it's dechuya. Pardon me. Number one is it's dechuya. It still is Shabbos, and therefore do what? Therefore eat the veil. Who argues on the first assumption? Rebbeinu Meir. What does Rebbeinu Meir hold? It's not Shabbos. He holds Butchman. And who argues on the second assumption? The Rosh. The Rosh says, in Hachinami. It is still Shabbos. We try our best to minimize. It really is Dechuya. And now the Machlokas is, which is the best way to minimize? Do you take into account unlikely psychological emotional reactions of the chola, or do you say, no, we can convince him to eat what's best? That's a much more technical machlokes, but lechora, that is gufa the shaila over here. And therefore, again, The Ravid has two assumptions. Number one is the assumption, and number two is the application of the assume. There's a fundamental machlok between the Ravid and the Rabbeinu Meir, same as the Rama versus the Ravid. And then there's a technical machlokas. Even if you hold this, nonetheless, you have a technical shot of the Rush. What boils down to is that, what's the, in terms of our three shittas, sorry, I'll take questions in a second, I guess I lied, or intentionally deviated from my plan. According to the Ravid, what's enough for being a Ravid versus Rush and being a Meir? That we know. Gufar Hashem, if you have a Cholo, you need to the Vela, or you can check that out. What's the difference between Rabbeinu Meir versus the Rush? They both agree over here, but they agree for technical reasons. Is there an afkamina between the Rabbeinu Meir and the Rush? The Rush, who says, we're worried that the Chol is going to not want it, he'll be hesitant, then he'll be more mistake, he'll become more sick. Or not, versus the Rabbeinu says, Mamish Mutter, what's an afkamina? Shina be all other examples of. Correct. According to the Rush, you would imagine he would learn like the Raya, the Ramban, that we try our best to as many shinuim as possible to minimize the Chinuch Shabbos. And according to the Rabbeinu Meir, everything is okay. Once there's a Tzorech, you're okay. Halach and Maisa, if not mistaken, they quote the name of Shlomo Zalman Orbach to believe that we paskin Dechuya. We try our best, L'chumra, to minimize as much as possible. We try our best to minimize the Chinuch Shabbos as possible. I spoke to Ariel Foreman, who rides around in an ambulance a lot of times on Shabbos because he's involved in the TNAC. What do you call it, Yitzi?
Volunteer
ambulance of Corps. And therefore, every time I speak to him, he's always like, yeah, we hold the chuya. We try our best to do this, we try our best to do that. We have to cheshbon out. Is it pekuach nefesh? Not pekuach nefesh. So, if he's ever concerned, for sure, we don't do anything to endanger anyone. But as long as we're not endangering anyone, then we try our best. That's priority one. But priority two is to minimize because we pass him to chuya. Let's talk how we pass him.